The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The World Health Organization is declaring that monkeypox is a global health emergency, and data is pointing to perhaps as many as 85 cases so far in Ireland. So should we be concerned? Infectious disease specialist with the RCSI, Professor Sam McConkie, joins me now. Morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, can you tell us about monkeypox, what is known about it, where it comes from, and how it affects people?
So, first found in a monkey in Denmark in the late 1950s, but most of the cases since then have been in Central and Western Africa, in Congo and Nigeria. It occurs very commonly in small animals there and sometimes jumps into humans, but hasn't really caused widespread community transmission in Congo and Nigeria. What's very different is that since May of this year, it started to spread in Europe and America. It presents with, I suppose the easiest way for listeners to understand it is a bit like chicken pox, what in technically is known as vesicular rash, vesicles like water blisters, a bit like herpes on the cold sores on the lip or chicken pox. And those can be sometimes just three or four lesions, sometimes hundreds all over the body associated with fever, tiredness, goes on for a couple of weeks, and then they crust over and the person gets better in most cases.
Now, in most cases, how might it seriously affect someone who didn't get better?
Occasionally, Pat, it's been shown to affect the lungs and cause a pneumonia in the lungs. That has been quite unusual, less than sort of 3 or 5% in the African cases, and even fewer in the cases recently in Europe and America. It's unfortunately more likely to cause severe disease in people who don't have a good immune system, which, of course, we've all heard multiple times from COVID. And also, unfortunately, in younger children, if they get it, can be more at risk than older people.
Now, is there any science behind why it might be spreading from to people in Europe to each other, perhaps even more frequently than it would in places where monkeypox is common? I mean, is it possible that African populations have some sort of immunity to it?
Yeah, the old smallpox vaccine that many of the older people in Ireland and around the world have had protects about 85% effectively from monkeypox. So there is a good vaccine, and many older people all around the world have had that vaccine. So it's more people under 50 really who are at risk. It's travel. We're all traveling more now, thankfully, than you know, we did decades ago. So travel brings it on. Most of the about 14,000 cases in Europe and America in the last few months have been in people who self-identify as gay or bisexual men. So it's been in a particular subgroup of the population. It's spread. It's really skin-to-skin contact. It's not traditionally thought of as a sexually transmitted disease, and it's more just close contact of one person with another person who's got these spotty lesions. It's not traditionally thought of as a sexually transmitted disease, but obviously in sexual activity, people get up close and personal, and certainly skin-to-skin contact of any sort can lead to spread.
Is that thought also to be the case in Ireland, where we have, I don't know, 70 to 90 cases, I'm not sure how many?
Yeah, most of the cases in Ireland and Europe, the vast majority have been in men who self-identify as gay and bisexual men. And while not specifically, as I said, sexually transmitted, it is in that group who've mainly got it.
Now, you talk about the smallpox vaccine as being effective, and I'm wondering, because we eliminated smallpox from our part of the world some decades ago, there are probably parts of the world where the elimination of smallpox came much later, and therefore their populations would have been vaccinated more recently than ours.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, one of the ways to control this current outbreak that the WHO have highlighted last Saturday as a public health emergency of international concern, and they've asked countries to take lots of actions to deal with this, both at national and international level. And one of those actions, as you've just hinted at, is scaling up the vaccination, essentially with an old smallpox vaccine. It's called Modified Vaccinia Virus Ankara, and it's made in Denmark by Bavarian Nordic. The problem is, Pat, everyone's looking for it right now, and there is a supply chain problem. I know this theme sounds familiar to all of us because we had it also with COVID, so it's really hard to get enough doses. But one of the best strategies to manage this would be actually to offer vaccination to everyone in a risk group, people working in diagnostic laboratories and healthcare workers, and people in the risk groups who've been experiencing this disease, and vaccinating maybe 10 or 15,000 people in Ireland would be enough to control it quite well, in my view.
Now, the National Immunization Advisory Committee, NIAC, has recommended two doses of the vaccine 28 days apart.
Yeah, and that's the sort of theory in practice, but unfortunately it's hard to get enough of it. Tomorrow, if we wanted to go out and buy enough of it, to meet the needs here in Ireland tomorrow, it's just not possible to get it. So it's back to the supply chain issue, which, you know, eventually as supply scales up, hopefully will be filled. But certainly vaccination is a solution. There's also a good medicine for people who are very, very sick with it. There's a medicine, Tecovirimat, it's called, that has been shown at least in animal models allowed to be effective against this virus, and has been shown to be safe in humans. So it's got a provisional license with the EMA, the European Licensing Authority, for treatment of monkeypox patients. There's also good diagnostic tests, but we need to scale those up, have them more widely available around Ireland. So if there's a case anywhere in Ireland, it can be diagnosed quickly. The public health strengthening is also part of WHO recommendation to have isolation, to have contact tracing, vaccination of contacts. And then, of course, unfortunately, the contacts really are supposed to stay in isolation for 3 weeks. We're all used to, I suppose, 2 weeks initially with COVID. Now it's down to 5 or 7 days. But for monkeypox, the isolation period is 3 weeks, which is a very long time for anyone who's done this. Very unpleasant, socially isolating, and hard to get, you know, your life continuing with 3 weeks of isolation. So I think,
but at least, you know, you avoid touching people if you have this condition, and they won't contract it. It's not like COVID where you just breathe the same air as they breathe and you can pass it on.
Exactly. It's primarily by skin-to-skin contact, or contact with the liquid that's in the vesicles on the skin. When the vesicles burst open, the sort of juice that comes out of those skin lesions, if we're talk about it that way, is quite infectious to other people, and can be then sitting on benches and surfaces that you could touch and contact.
Sure.
So the isolation is quite important as a way of preventing it.
And people sharing towels and all that, they should not so do. By the way, that drug you mentioned, Tecovirimat, is that in short supply or is that available?
I believe it has been used in UK, and I believe it's likely to become available in Ireland in September. There's a demand for it, obviously, that suddenly surged, and I believe it will become available here in September. That's what I heard.
Now, the final thing is, if this thing took off in the way we've seen COVID taking off, what's the worst case scenario? Because, you know, it's a self-limiting illness, as you said. In most cases, it doesn't prove to be fatal. What would the outcome be? Just a lot of people with maybe permanent scarring?
I think it's very unlikely that this will start to spread widely in the general population, Pat. The R-naught, if we get back to the old technical numbers we used to use with COVID, in the general population is much less than one, and only about 8% of close contacts acquire the disease. So unless a person has a very large number of close contacts, generally it doesn't continue to spread. So I would say it's very, very unlikely in Ireland to become a generalized epidemic in, you know, millions of people like we all had with COVID. And I really don't see a likelihood of the sort of unpleasant and horrible social restrictions on travel and movement that we had with COVID. So I think this is quite a different type of pandemic. I think it's likely to stay within a group. I guess the worry would be that if you get a mutation, we're all familiar now with mutations of viruses, it could it have a more pathogenic strain that would have more propensity to cause lung disease or heart disease. So there's always a worry in large, when it's in thousands and thousands of humans, that it will evolve into a more vicious animal and cause more disease. You know, in some ways I feel reminiscent of the HIV epidemic, you know, back in the early 80s, when again, you know, men who sex with men were originally the sort of risk group there, and that did spread to, you know, 50 or 80 million people and has caused a worldwide pandemic. So I think it could become endemic. It could become part of the furniture, if you like syphilis, like herpes. But I don't see sort of anything like the, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 deaths that we had from COVID. It's very different from COVID, and it needs a robust public health response. With the tools we have available, like the vaccine, I believe we can largely control it and limit its spread.
And obviously, awareness campaigns among those who are in the risk groups would be very helpful.
Yeah, and I think a sensitivity to prevent stigma and avoid discrimination against people who are, let's say, the victims of a disease. In general, blaming the victims of any problem isn't a good way to solve it. So I think we have to be supportive and caring and helpful to people who have it or might have it or are in risk groups, and to try and help folk in that situation to get through the troubles they're experiencing and to get out the other end.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for all of that information, which will be welcomed by our listeners. Infectious disease specialist with the RCSI, Professor Sam McConkie. Sam, thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.